Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Amen. Wow. Super, super excited and encouraged to be with you guys this morning. Like I said, and I'm excited to carry on with our series, God Glorified and Magnified. Last week, we started with this word. And as I've been just preparing, like I've just been so blessed and so touched by God's word, just continually. Like we know this and we say this, God's word is alive and active. But man, is it awesome to really encounter it being alive? Is it amazing when you start experiencing and just tasting, as David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I want to encourage you guys to taste this morning. Taste is something you have to do. No one has babies in this room, as far as I can see. So I'm not going to come here with a spoon and feed you. There's some spoon feeding that is happening to a degree this morning. But I want you guys to really chew on that what you are receiving. I want you guys to really partake of. Ask questions in your hearts. Also, what is the application of these words in my specific life? It's not, this word isn't just kind of for us as a whole, but it's also for us as individual sons and daughters of God. So partake this morning together of this word, because it is alive and it is active. And as we open up our hearts, it is going to bless us. It's going to bring fruitfulness in our lives in every area, not just in some areas. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, God glorified and magnified. I tried to paint this picture of just the greatness, the vastness of God's glory and how big He is. But it is not really possible in human terms, like, because there is no end to God's greatness. And so it's quite difficult to measure something or to explain something if there's no measurability to it. Like if you can measure something, you can kind of draw a comparison. Rugby field length, so many meters, you compare it to something else that is that size. But there is nothing that compares to the size of God. I feel naked without my rings, so I'm going to put them on quickly. Awesome. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you missed on last week's part one of the series, then please get it. We're going to just do a two-part series on this. And we also looked at the Zoe life, our life and fullness. Life in its fullness, as the word talks about Zoe life. And it's talk. So when you find the word life in the New Testament, generally it talks about the Greek word Zoe, and it's a word to define life in its fullness. And in order for us to enjoy life in its fullness, we looked at, there's one big thing that needs to be part of us. There's one thing that can limit us in experiencing Zoe life. And we looked at free will. We looked at every person sitting here this morning. You've got free will. You've got the choice to decide what are you focusing on. You've got a choice whether you're going to magnify God, put Him in His place of authority, in His place of glory, or if you're going to magnify your problems. Because God doesn't change by the way we see things. It's like a magnifying glass. It's a great picture or illustration of this. When you take a magnifying glass and you look at something, that something doesn't physically change. The size of that something does not physically change. But from your perspective, looking through the magnifying glass, that size changes. And so for us, when we're magnifying God, we're not making God bigger than He already is. We're not making Him more faithful than He already is. We're not making His word more truthful than it already is. God's word is true. His magnitude is unmeasurable. But for us, we've got the free will to decide, what are we focusing on? From what perspective are we looking at God? And that is really the word that we looked at last week, and what we're going to carry on just building on this week. And we looked at Romans 1 verse 21, really talking about free will and talking about us walking in this daily. It's not just one time, okay, cool, I've magnified God. Like, I've magnified God by receiving Jesus. No, it's a daily walk where we get to choose to magnify and glorify God. And Romans 1 verse 21 explains this beautifully for us, the effects of not doing this. And says, because that when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. So if you want to stay away from a hardened heart, if you want to stay away from a place where you become so bitter in your heart, then never stop glorifying God. Never stop magnifying God and putting God at His proper place of authority, of magnitude, of glory. And this this is something, as it says here, they knew God, but then there wasn't a glorifying of God. And that's why we, when we know God, it can't just be an intellectual knowledge. There's a lot of people that intellectually know about Jesus and some of the things that he did. There's a lot of people that have seen and heard things, and it might be exciting in that moment. There might be some zeal that is like kind of a triggered in that moment, but zeal is not going to keep you on the road of glorifying God. We need to intimately know God, daily walk with God, abide in him, as Jesus said in John 15. Commune with him on a daily basis so we can know him truly, intimately, and from that place glorify him for the God that he is. When we look at some of the things last week, we looked at some practical things and how we can glorify God. But then we also said that ultimately, if glorifying God and some of the things that we do, being in unity, for example, loving one another, bearing fruit, if that does not ultimately overflow in us glorifying Jesus, then those things are all futile. Why is that? That brings us to today's message. Let's get into Luke chapter 24. Why is that? Why is it so important to have everything that we're doing that brings glory to God? Why does all of that have to ultimately overflow into us glorifying Jesus, the resurrected Christ? Why is that? It's good to ask the question, why? Kids are great at that. Why? Why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do this? They're great. And it's not always enough to just say, because doing what you wanted them to do for a long period of time, because they're going to grow up to think for themselves. And if because I said so wasn't kind of a good enough reason, they're going to find something else to do. So it's so good to and God's word also, it's not just a kind of a because I said so. Sometimes there is a because I said so. There's a conversing between Jesus. Jesus asked questions. Questions were being asked. So it's good to ask questions. Why? So Luke chapter 24, we'll read from verse 25 and 27. It says, then he said unto them, wow, my time is running away with me, so I'm going to pick up speed here. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So Jesus is saying, like, you're slow of heart to believe these things, what the prophets have spoken. What have they spoken? Ought not, verse 26, Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is powerful. Jesus walking the earth at a time have suffered these things to enter into his glory. So there was another picture of glory that Jesus was talking about here in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, so he's talking about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. At the beginning of Moses and through all of the prophets, he expounded unto them all that the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What were the scriptures all about? Genesis to Malachi. Jesus expounded unto them these things. And what did he say? These things all talked about concerning himself. Super powerful. Let's jump down to verse 44 to 47. And it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Again, referencing Genesis to Malachi, concerning me. What was the Old Testament all concerned about? Jesus, come on. If you're in doubt, Jesus is generally the answer. Concerning me, verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. And he said, verse 46, 47, it's not just about Jesus. It's not just about, what is it about Jesus? Who is Jesus? What was his purpose? Here it is, verse 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is powerful. The whole word of God is about God's love for mankind. But more specifically, from the beginning of time, Jesus was the answer to the problem of sin. We looked at Jesus so profoundly ministering here, and he says, like, breaking down the scriptures, the law, Moses, the prophets, the poems concerning himself, talking about himself, talking about what he came to do for mankind. Jesus was the answer to the problem of sin. Jesus could only enter into his glory through his death and resurrection. Now that seems like, I understand that, Etienne, I hear what you are saying, but do you really hear what I'm saying? Because the gospel is Jesus crucified, Jesus raised from the dead, so you and me do not live with a consciousness of sin. So you and me do not have to be separated from a holy God for all of eternity. So you and me can enter into eternity with God Almighty without any feeling of shame, fear, or condemnation. This is the message of the cross. God's full glory was manifested through Jesus, the resurrected Christ. If you want to experience God's full glory, start getting to know Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Not Jesus before the resurrection. Jesus before the resurrection. Some of you are upset with me, I can see. I can smell upsetness in the air. Jesus before the cross lived, and again, Genesis to Malachi, and everything that Jesus did while he was alive before his death and resurrection, again, pointed to the cross, pointed to the glory of God, so that he himself said, so that I can enter into my glory. Why is that? What is this entering into his glory? Why is that? What is this talking about? Imagine this for a moment. I don't know, who's art fanatics here? Who loves some art, some good art? There are not a lot of them generally in the room. Good stuff. I had a conversation with someone in the week, and he always asked me, like, do I like art? And I was like, interesting question. Like, what do you mean? Anyways, so imagine the Mona Lisa. Everyone's heard of the Mona Lisa. Imagine the Mona Lisa being painted but never being given a face or a head. Like, it just wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same. Imagine for a moment the Eiffel Tower half bald. Okay? Imagine for a moment your favorite dish. Just picture this. You pick in your mind your favorite dish, the best dish you could probably have now for Sunday lunch. Think about that. But think about that dish. It's being prepared. It's being thrown into the casserole, never going into the oven. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, are you going to eat it raw? Or are you, like, it's not the same because it hasn't been completed. The dish hasn't been completed. The best book, imagine the best novel that you've ever read. Tear out the last 10 pages. It's not going to be the same. Anything that isn't complete, that hasn't been fulfilled, is not going to be the same. Jesus, the glory of God, was fully manifested when Jesus came to fulfill and complete what God sent him to do. Now, I know this is super, super complicated, and some of you guys aren't getting this because you guys aren't getting excited, but this is super exciting. We're talking about the glory of God. We're talking about God's magnitude being revealed through Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Let's go to Hebrews 2, verse 10. And it says, I'm reading from New Living Translation, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. Entering into our glory, God preparing this glory for us, comes through salvation. We, through salvation, through receiving Jesus Christ to live inside of us, receive a glory that we haven't yet fully understood. Because when we fully understand the glory of God, and it's never going to be something that you arrive at, it's not a destination, but there's a glory for us to come to understand that is inside of us, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself, that is inside of us that God bestowed upon us, that is there for purpose, it's there for reason. And this, sometimes people taking this passage of scripture out of context and say, like, yeah, so Jesus suffered so that he could be this perfect leader. So that's why when I'm suffering, I'm also becoming a perfect leader. Only one person ever had to suffer so that you can be perfected. Jesus, the resurrected Christ. You don't need to suffer to be perfected. Jesus suffered for you so that you can be perfected through him, through your faith in him. Romans 8 verse 29 says this from 29 to 30, I'm reading Amplified Classic. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself, And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. God's glory is living inside of us. The glory of God Almighty, Romans 8 verse 11, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living inside of our mortal bodies. The glory of God is inside of the sons and daughters. Romans 8 talks about the creation is waiting in expectancy for the sons of God to be revealed. If you reveal something, it's not making something come to be. When you reveal something, you basically show what is already there. If this pulpit, for example, was covered with a tablecloth and you could not see the pulpit, and I asked you, do you know what is underneath this pulpit? You could guess a few things. But when I remove the tablecloth, I reveal to you what was already there. I'm not making something be there unless I'm a magician or something like that. So I'm just revealing to you what is already there. We need to come to know. We need to gain revelation of what God has put inside of us. Jesus justified us so we can be glorified. This is again talking about our salvation. We can only be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We can only become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And through that, we are also glorified because we've received something. Let's carry on. We share in God's glory. And this is something that religious folk just can't grasp. We share in God's glory. You and me share in the glory of God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. And maybe you're upset with me, but let's look at the Scriptures. Colossians 1 verse 27. I'm going to read it from a few different translations here. And it says, King James, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this glory? What is this mystery? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. New Living Translation. For God wanted them to know. What did he want us to know? He wanted us to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for the Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Again, the only possible way that mere mankind can enjoy and share the glory of a God Almighty is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the resurrected King. Now, you might be wondering, so what does this all mean to me? So what now? I'm glad you asked the question. Let's get to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read a few verses here. We're actually going to try and get through the whole chapter in chapter 3, because this paints this beautiful picture of this glory being unfolded in the believer. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 15, I'm going to read from New Living Translation, then the last few verses from King James, and says, are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on our behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. Verse 5, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory, there it comes. This word glory and this explanation now, what does this mean for us? And what side of the glory are we living? It began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Say, already fading away. So where there was a glory that was experienced through the Israelites looking, gazing upon Moses and the glory of God shining upon his face, but already that glory was fading away. From the get-go, that glory was fading away. Why was that glory fading away? Why was it already thousands of years ago fading away when it was manifested? Because from the beginning of time, from Genesis, the picture of Jesus, the fulfillment and the calling of Jesus was already there from the beginning of time. So when this glory was manifested, this was already a fading glory. I hope that blessed someone. This glory was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life. So we're talking about glory, we're talking about the glory fading away. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit giving life. If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, now who would have thought that condemnation would have been glorious? Generally speaking, we think like, oh, condemnation, oh, it's not great, it's not good. And yes, it is not great, it is not good. But there was a purpose to the law. There's still a purpose to the law of today. Even though Jesus has fulfilled the law, mankind still need to see what the law was intended for. Yes, Jesus came to fulfill. Yes, Jesus came to complete. Amazing, powerful. We wouldn't be able to sit here with smiles on our faces if we didn't have Jesus fulfilling the law for us, so that we don't need to fulfill the law. But for those who aren't in Christ Jesus, still need to see their need for a Savior. Hence the law. Hence the law being the schoolmaster. Galatians chapter 3 talks about the law being our schoolmaster, pointing us to Christ. But that was not the glory of God. The law was not the glory of God. The law is holy. The law is perfect. The law is a picture of, and again, it's not a full picture, but it is a picture of the glory, of the holiness of God Almighty, that any person cannot stand in God's presence with that holiness, with that glory, because we weren't worthy. But praise Jesus. Praise God that He sent Jesus, so that we, through faith in Jesus, can walk in the fulfillment of the law. Jesus now writes His laws upon our hearts, so that we don't ever need to look at letters or at laws or at things to be able to fulfill holiness. But we were created for holiness, in holiness, to live holy through Christ Jesus, through us understanding who we've become. Now, all of this might not make sense to you because you are so aware of your sinful actions. You are so aware of your lack. You are so aware of your conditions. But you need to become aware of something else. You need to become aware of your spiritual reality, the truth of who you've become in the Spirit, the truth of what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 talks about. Therefore, for anyone who is in Christ is now a new creature, a new creation, a new being. You're not just fixed up, guys. You need to get this. You weren't a broken pot who fell off of the table, shattered into pieces, and then God came along, took some super glue, and stuck the pieces together, and now you're this shattered piece of clay. That is gone. The old is gone. A new has come. What is this new? Not your actions. Your actions do not change when you become born again. Your physical body does not change when you become born again. But your spirit changes. Your spirit is transformed from a dead spirit to a living spirit. And this spirit is the glory of God. If the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way? Why is the new way glorious? The old way was glorious because it pointed to something. It pointed to the need of a Savior. But when you receive the Savior, that is much more glorious, because now you aren't just aware of the fact that you need a Savior. It's done and it's fulfilled its purpose to point you to Jesus Christ and faith in Him. Now through that, the glory of God can be manifested through you. I thought someone would jump up there from their chairs and like shout, praise Jesus, God's glory is upon me. I want this to come out of me. Because what good is the glory of God inside of us locked up somewhere so that no one would ever see it? God's glory was intended to be manifested on the sons of God and the daughters of God. This more glorious way which makes us right with God. Verse 10, in fact, this first glory was not glorious at all compared. So on its own, there is glory. But compared to this new glory, compared to Jesus, it was not glorious at all. with compared with the overflowing glory of the new way. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? The scripture does not say the old way has been abolished. The old way has been completely removed. No, it has been replaced, or it's been more specifically been fulfilled. We talked about complete. There's a completeness to it. There's a fulfillment to it. Because without that, there wouldn't be a need for Jesus. If there was no law, if there was no consciousness and awareness of a separation from God, there wouldn't be a need for a Savior. Why does someone need saving? Because they're in trouble. Connect the dots. If someone's not in trouble, they don't need saving. I know it's super profound, and some of you guys are just overwhelmed by this profoundness. But if someone does not need saving, they don't need a Savior. The law is there intended to point people to the need for a Savior. And there's glory in that. Because if that is not evident to someone, they can't receive the Savior. They can't receive the greater glory of God. So we need to use the law lawfully for what it was intended. Verse 12. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. What is the truth? The truth, again, the purpose. There's a purpose for the law. If you read the law and you study the law for the sake of being better, being a greater person, you are missing the point. You are missing the truth of the fulfillment of the law. And there's going to be a cover over your mind. You won't be able to understand. And this veil, so talking about this veil, it's talking about a veil as in marriage, when a bride comes down the aisle, whether she chose to have a veil or not have a veil, there's a veil over her face, and the husband can't see her clearly. She can't see him clearly. There's something covering her eyes. So this is the picture that it's pointing. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. What did Jesus do? Jesus did in Luke 24, he took the scriptures, he took the old covenant, he took it all and he brought it to have people understand that it was talking about him. Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is the glory of God manifest. He took the old covenant and the law, and he brought them understanding to see, to know that they have always pointed to him. He showed how they were all pointing to his death and his resurrection. He didn't just point them to himself, but he specifically, as we looked at Luke 24 from verse 44, specifically the gospel is a specific message. It is a message about a death and a resurrected king. For the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the right to be justified before God and to receive his glory. That is the gospel. Everything else is just kind of a bonus. It's an add-on. But the glory of God is the power of God. And I'm just kind of jumping into things. The glory of God is the power of God. I'm not gonna go that down that route, because otherwise I'm not gonna come back and finish this message this morning. Okay, so jump down to verse 16 from the King James Version. We're coming to close. Verse 16 to 18, it says, Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when we turn to Jesus, it's like the bride coming down the aisle and turning to her bridegroom. Jesus is called our bridegroom. And that veil is being removed when we turn to Jesus. Only when we turn to Jesus, only when we turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ can the veil of the law be removed. Without Jesus, there's no removing of the veil. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. There's not bondage. We need to get this. When you're experiencing bondage, when you're experiencing any sense of oppression, so to speak, take heart that there is freedom. There's something that Jesus came to set you free of, because the Spirit of the Lord, where that Spirit is, inside of a believer, there is freedom, there is a liberty to be experienced. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what does that mean? Because it's a cool word, it sounds pretty cool, but what does it mean? What does it mean? We need to ask, what does that mean for me? Daily, we decide, what are we beholding? What are we looking to? But we all with open faces. Is your face open? Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to something else? Are you looking to Jesus, the resurrected Christ? What does that mean? Forgiveness of sins, justification unto righteousness. Nothing else. Forgiveness of sins, justification unto righteousness. That is the gospel. Now, there's a whole lot of other things that we see in the gospels. But the gospel, the message of the cross, is the forgiveness of sins and then the justification unto righteousness. Because only by holding that, only by looking at that which Jesus came to do, what Jesus came to fulfill, only by that are we truly gonna experience the glory of God inside of us and out of us. We can't have any additives to the glory of God, how that glory has been made available to us. Because what do additives do? It's not good for your body. What do preservatives do? It's not good for your body. When you're adding a bunch of things into something that's not supposed to be there, it is diminishing the power of what that was intended to be. So you might experience some power. You might experience some glory. And praise God for that, because that is His grace. But if you want to experience the fullness of the glory of God, you need to start cutting away some of the fluff. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a specific message. It's a message of the forgiveness of sins and the justification unto righteousness. And by that righteousness, by that justification, we can share in the glory of God. With open face, beholding as in a glass. This glass is a picture of a mirror, and James talks about the Word of God being the mirror of God. Beholding as in a glass, beholding as in the mirror, the glory of God. As we behold, as we see the glory of God through the Scriptures, through the fulfillment of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, as we behold that, as we focus on that, as we meditate on that through the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory, I believe this is a picture of the law being glorious, pointing us to Jesus, and then the next picture of glory being revealed in us through God. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is talking about our salvation. The glory of God is manifest upon the believers through salvation in Jesus Christ, through receiving the Holy Spirit. Then jumping into the next chapter, we're closing with these few verses from the ESV, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. He carries on in this next chapter talking about this glory and it being unfolded. And then it gets very practical, because the Word of God is practical. And it says, and it carries on building on this picture of the glory of God. And it says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So the author here is drawing a picture to us, and Paul the author is drawing this picture to us, and often we see this even in his epistles, in Colossians, Philippians. He talks about the power of God. He talks about, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We love that scripture. We love that verse. But again, what is the glory and the power of God intended for? We love to use the power and the glory of God for things that it was not intended for. And yeah, again, makes the same point. What is this? So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There's a glory that God wants us to experience as sons and daughters here on earth. And that glory is not just going to be a temporal glory that we're experiencing right here, right now. But that glory, again, is there for a purpose. To touch people's hearts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These momentary afflictions that Paul talked about wasn't just kind of... These momentary afflictions that he encountered, that he had come against him was because he was living on purpose. He was living for a purpose to have the glory of God manifest through him to point people to Jesus. If you're experiencing afflictions and it's not for that purpose, then don't glorify in those afflictions. Don't rejoice in those afflictions, because there's only one type of affliction that should be rejoiced in, and it's when our afflictions is a direct result of us glorifying Jesus, the resurrected Christ. I know that blessed someone. I know that offended someone. But praise God for His grace, and that His Holy Spirit will take that offense away from you so that you can embrace the truth and be set free to live in your calling. Verse 18, He says, these momentary afflictions is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What is this again determined by? As we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We've got an eternal weight of glory that God wants us to experience. Not just in eternity one day. Yes, one day we are going to see in full. We're not going to just know in part, but we're going to know in full. We're going to see in full who Jesus is and who we are in Him. But right here, right now on earth, take heart that you can come to know more and more of the glory of God inside of you. We can grow in understanding. And I'm going to pray this prayer for us. We can grow in understanding of what God has done inside of us, the glory of God inside of us. We are living in the glory of God, His glory, and we magnify God for what He's accomplished through His Son Jesus. As we look to Him and we magnify for what He has accomplished for us through Jesus, we'll start seeing more and more of this glory unfold in our lives. Let's become more purposeful of magnifying Jesus, the resurrected Christ.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.